You know, there are a lot of questions in this world in which we live in, a lot of difficult questions. There are questions that ask things like, how can I know that there's a God? How can I really know that God exists? How can I know that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived and died so that I might be forgiven of my sins? How can we explain all those people that live today and that have lived in the past that never heard about Jesus? What about them? What's their situation? What's the answer there? Is it possible that I could be good enough that God would want to have anything at all to do with me? Some of these questions are difficult. The fundamental questions about our faith and define who we are and how we live out our lives and how we react and how we share what God is doing in our life or we perceive Him to be doing in our life with others. Over these next 5 weeks, I'm going to be doing a sermon series, 5 sermons, you might have guessed, with a break in there. 2 weeks from today, Brenning is going to be leading the service. I'm going to be participating in a spiritual retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. Some of you have been on that in here, and some of you have heard of it, but it's an entire weekend-long process, and I'll be a spiritual director there. And so I will be absent that Sunday, and Brenning has graciously agreed to lead the service, and he will actually be doing the speaking. So keep him in prayer as that goes. But today and next Sunday, I'll be dealing with a passage from Psalm 19, the passage of Psalm 19, and talking about how we can answer some of those questions there. And then after Thanksgiving, those 3 Sundays after Thanksgiving, we'll be dealing with answering that question from the perspective of Christ. 3 different areas there. So, you've got 5 sermons. Already, you know what's going to be happening. Randy, I've already got the scripture and everything, so you can't take credit for telling me what to preach or anything like that. So it's already there. But this is an important issue, an important subject, and I hope you will come and enjoy, and maybe you can find some answers for yourself. 5 sermons on recognizing God. Today's sermon, you see from your bulletin, it is part 1 in creation, in the world, in creation. That is the first place that we will recognize God, the first place that He revealed Himself. Let's look now at Psalm 19. If you will read with me, it will be on the screen, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Let's pray. Father, may these words that we are pondering today speak to our hearts, and may Your glory and Your majesty be revealed to us. Lord, we thank You this day for what You have done for us, what You continue to do. May we be open and obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. When we read these first 2 verses in this passage here, or when I read them, you can't help but be pointed to Genesis and the story of creation and what God was doing in setting the heavens and creating the heavens and the earth and in separation of the firmament. Now, those are terms and words that we know quite differently today and understand quite differently than was understood in the ancient days of of Moses when these words were penned, when they were actually recorded. We see the heavens today and we know of their great expanse from our scientific knowledge. That it is not just a small area where it is covered by the firmament, and which was what divided and held back the water and the chaos in their understanding from breaking in upon us and destroying us. The firmament was that area which protected us. But God, nevertheless, regardless of their incomplete understanding of science and the whole realm and the magnitude of nature, they understood and saw that what God was doing, that the very heavens and the things around pointed toward creation and the fact that there was a God. In this passage, there is something to note there. There is, in these first two verses, you see the words, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day utters speech. Night reveals knowledge." In this, the heavens declare, the firmament shows. It says to us that there is a process of listening and seeing there. The heavens declare. You know, when someone declares something to you, there's a process that you need to do in listening there. Now, listening is a passive activity in this sense here. It's all we are listening to what is being said. When we look upon creation, we have to be able to listen to that fact of what is being spoken to us. You know, this morning when I drove up and turned in there, and thanks to the time change, it was light and the sun was already up, and I turned in and I saw that maple tree up there. How many of you saw it this morning as you came in? Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I saw that tree up there this morning, I saw that God is good and God is present, and that there is a creator of something that grandeur. There's no pen, no painter can draw anything like that. Y'all know I love Thomas Kincaid and the paintings that he does. He's called the painter of light. But there is no painting that he's ever done or anyone else that can do justice to that right up there this morning. Just can't be done. We went on a mission trip this weekend. You know, some of y'all know about that. Talk about that a little bit. Brenning and John and myself, we went on a mission of playing some golf. And we had a great time. And as we looked out upon some of those fairways with the beautiful green grass and the trees around us, the water, lots of water, and all those sand traps that were there, beautiful and white, backdropped against the green. And I was in the sand quite a bit, so I know how beautiful it was. I was like, you know, even though this was man-made and designed in the essence of this course laid out, I couldn't help but look out there, Brennan, could you, and not see God and see what a great and wonderful God, how this creation is speaking. And I just need to hear of what God is, how good He is, and what a wonderful God He is. How much He loves us to provide us with things like that. With things that just speak and show forth and cry out of God. It says on that day utters speech, night reveals knowledge. Now there's more of an active phrase here. This is more of an active thing. The first verse, it says, it's more of a speak and see. The heavens declare, the firmament shows. But in this second verse, day utters speech, night reveals knowledge. There's action involved here. When the speech is uttered, there's an actual hearing there. You know, that's a little bit, a deeper step, a little bit more of a commitment than just listening. Listening is that passive mode. But hearing then, it means that we're taking it in. It's more than just bouncing off of us. But when you hear something, it begins to reveal. You begin to understand to a certain degree. It's not just a hum. It's not just a roar in the background. It's not just taking for granted the beauty of this nature around us. But it's actually beginning to hear what's being said in those things. And it's actually beginning to sink into us. And we see it even deeper and further. Both of these verses here point to recognition. Day and night, day to day and night to night, the psalmist says. It points out the fact that there is a continual revelation of God in nature, in creation, in this world. God didn't just say, let it be, in the beginning there was. I didn't say all those things. It's a continuous thing from day to day, night to night. If we all live 12 more months, if nothing happens, lightning doesn't strike that tree or a windstorm doesn't push it down, there'll be beautiful leaves on that tree once again. Over and over again, day from day, night to night, God continues to reveal Himself through nature. We look at verse 6, 3 through 6 then. In these passages, it continues on. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Folks, in every culture, in every place on the face of this earth, God is being revealed to people through these same type of things. It may not be the beauty of that tree up there or the beauty of the golf course, but it's a sunset across a Pacific island, or a sunrise on a shore in Japan somewhere as the sun comes up. God is revealing Himself wherever people are at. There is no place on the face of this earth that God cannot be found. Sunset, sunrise, all of those things speak to Christ, speak to God and His existence. Read with me in Romans now. This is not just an Old Testament thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read several verses there if you want to follow along. This is Paul speaking. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Invisible attributes are clearly seen. "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." What Paul is saying here is what we all need to understand, is that we are held accountable by what we know and what has been revealed to us. God is calling us, and I'm not going to get into next week's sermon or the next 3 week sermon, but God is calling us to recognize Him, to acknowledge Him today. He's calling us to do that through creation. He's calling us that. And that's a condition that you and I and every other brother or sister on the face of this earth have in common. God has called us through creation to an acknowledgement of Jesus, or of Himself. I want to keep saying Jesus Christ, but that's getting into the following sermons. God has revealed Himself through nature, through creation. We are all accountable. When He has called us, we are all accountable. No one escapes that. Now, this points out to the fact, you know, what about people who have never heard about Jesus? What about the Native Americans that lived in this land 1,000 years ago and never heard of Jesus Christ? What about them? Well, God calls them accountable as to what they know and what was revealed to them through such things as nature, through such things as beautiful trees and sunsets. God holds them accountable to what they know and what they have been told. I can't speak about anything else, but that's what God, the Word, says. They will be held accountable to that. There's stories. I wish I could remember the author of the book. I read a story about missionaries who had been sent out on the mission field, and they'd gone into remote areas of the world, remote Amazon areas and areas in Africa and the Pacific Islands where there had been very little exposure to the white race. They went in there and were welcomed with open arms by the natives, because they had, when they came and began to tell them why they were there, They said, "We've been waiting on you people. Our legends and our stories that have been handed down for hundreds of years have told us of people that would come bringing a book that would tell us about a Savior." Now, can you imagine that? I mean, this is not made up. This really has happened more than once. And the only way that could happen is because they were listening and they were hearing what God was saying to them in nature and in the created order. God reveals Himself in every way, and you and I are held accountable according to that. The passage goes on, and it talks about the sun and its splendor and its greatness, and it just speaks to the fact that no one can hide from it. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Folks, we can't escape from it. We have heard and seen Christ, God in the created order, and we must respond. But see, now this isn't where it ends for us. Because see, each and everything that we'll talk about in the subsequent weeks builds upon the last. This week I've talked to you about the created order and how God reveals Himself there. But that is not a completion of God's revelation. It is simply the beginning. It is the toe in the door to keep it open from being slammed shut. And what it points us to next, what next week's topic will be, is on the revelation of God, recognizing God in the Word, in the law, or what is called in the Bible, the Torah. God's appearance, God, who God is recognizable next in the Word. When we look at this passage here in closing, when we look at it, we see that this Son that is given to us, it's like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, verse 5 says, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. You see, God doesn't reveal Himself meekly and trying to disguise Himself of who He is. But this Son that's there and present that can't be hidden from, it comes in splendor and majesty and in glory. And folks, we cannot deny who it is. When that sun rises in the morning, darkness escapes. It is gone. When the light of God shines upon each of us, we can no longer hide. We must acknowledge, and we are held accountable. Don't stop with just seeing Him in creation. Recognize God. Next week, we'll talk about His Word. And you know, creation and recognizing God in creation, it is grace. It is God's grace that gives us that ability to see that. It's not earned. It's not anything that we can purchase. It's not knowledge that we can delve into some type of book or encyclopedia or some site on the internet and come to an understanding of. But it is knowledge that's given to us, free, a free gift of grace. It's much like what we do when we come to communion. We experience communion not because we have earned God's forgiveness, not because we deserve God's forgiveness, but because Jesus died on the cross freely so that we would be forgiven. I invite you this morning to come to God's table to partake freely of what He has given us as this reminder points us towards grace. May you, when you walk from this place into the beauty of this creation, be reminded of God's grace and His revelation in your life. On the night in which Jesus was crucified, He came with His disciples to the place that we call the upper room. He ate a meal with His disciples. After the meal was over, He took the bread, He broke it and gave thanks. He passed it around amongst His closest friends, and He said to them, "Take and eat. This is My body, which was broken for you. Do this as often as you come together in remembrance of me. After he had passed the bread around, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he said, "Take this cup, for it is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you come together, do this in remembrance of me." May God's grace be revealed to you in these acts as we come together. I invite you to come to the Lord.